She wants to get her word in edgewise, too. Parents, you can send your children now with Miss Joanne. Gwen's waiting patiently for you downstairs for our children's church, so all of our children can go with Miss Joanne down to children's church. For everyone else, take out your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ruth. We will be studying this book throughout the summer. And last week we began the first part of chapter 1, and we'll continue in that study today. And we also encourage you to take out the sermon notes in the bulletin and follow along with them. The dictionary defines commitment as this. It's the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or to an activity. It means to pledge or to promise, to obligate one's self to an issue or a question. And in truth, commitment is something that's often easier seen than it is talked about. For example, as we think about an Olympic athlete, and we think about the commitment that it takes for them, the years and years and years of getting out of bed early in the morning to train, going to school or to work, and then coming home and training all afternoon and evening to be prepared to one day compete as an Olympic athlete. It takes incredible commitment to ever get there. This week I had the privilege of spending a day in Dallastown High School and watching teachers who work with special needs children. I spent a part of the morning with a special needs group. And the love and the care and the devotion that those teachers had for these children who don't have all the mental gifts that you and I might have, and their commitment to coach these young ones to do the best that they could, even in their ability, whatever they had. Those teachers were beside those students, encouraging them and nurturing them and prompting them at the right moment so that they might gain some valuable experience to hopefully one day to be able to be a little bit more independent. We see commitments all the time with parents with children. We see when children are misbehaving or when they're behaving well, it takes commitment for the parent to keep steadily steering that child toward the right direction. And perhaps when most of us think of commitment, we think of our marriage vows, the commitment that we made to our spouses on that day when we made a promise to be faithful and true to each other for the rest of our lives. St. Camillus de Lillis, this quote of his is famous. A lot of people have tried to steal it from him and take it as their own, but he's the original author way back in the 16th century. He said this, "Commitment is doing what you said you would do after the feeling you said it in has passed." I'll let that sink in again. Let me read that one more time. Commitment is doing what you said you would do after the feeling you said it in has passed. I used to get a chuckle when I went to the gym on January 2nd. There were lots of people that said they were going to work out every day. And by the 1st of February, it was back to the crowd of the regulars that they said on January 1st, "I'm committed, I'm all in, I'm going to work out every day." And 30 days later, their commitment had gone by the wayside. The feeling of it, the desire to lose weight, the desire to get in shape was washed out by other pressing matters. As we think biblically about commitment, a commitment from a biblical perspective means the promises that we make with God, that we're going to know and love and serve him, and that we're going to honor and worship and adore him. When we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ and we become born again by the power of the Spirit, we make that commitment. God, I love you. I am yours. I want to be with you, and I want to be in fellowship with you for the rest of your life, rest of my life, and into eternity. So as we continue in our study of the book of Ruth, we'll dig into 8 brief verses today, which I believe is a stellar example of biblical commitment. Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. Now, before I actually read this text, I just want to give a little bit of background for those who weren't here last week. The story of Ruth really has two settings, two different locations. begins with a man, Elimelech, his wife Naomi. They leave their hometown in Bethlehem and they journey about 100 miles away with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, because there's famine in the land of Judah and Israel and people are hungry. And so Naomi and Ruth go to a foreign land because they've heard there's food there. And while there, Mahlon and Chilion take wives for themselves, but then the father Elimelech dies and the two sons die. And so Naomi is left just with her two daughters-in-law. And so Naomi hears that the famine back in the land of Israel is over, that there is once again rain in Israel, that God has blessed his people with food. And so Naomi decides to go back to her hometown to be with her people. And before she leaves, she urges her daughters-in-law to go back to their clan, to their family, to stay in Moab where there would be safety and security from them, to find husbands and remarry amongst her own people. And so Orpah, one of the daughters-in-law, does that. She goes back to her homeland with her Moabite clans. And now we pick up the story in verse 15 to learn what Ruth does. Then she said, behold, she, Naomi, said, behold, your sister-in-law Orpah has gone back to her own people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts me from you. Well, she saw that she was determined to go with her, for she said nothing more to her. So they both went out until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. From the text that we just read, Ruth teaches us five things about biblical commitment. Let's look again at verse 15. Naomi said to Ruth, behold, your sister-in-law Orpah has gone back to your people and to her gods, and return after your sister-in-law. So Ruth teaches us first to accept responsibility for our commitment. Orpah took the easier path. She could have went back with Naomi to Israel. She had every opportunity just as Ruth did. And so Orpah took the easy way out. She went back to what was familiar, what was comfortable. But Ruth had made a commitment. She said, Naomi, I'm going to go with you. I will be with you wherever you go. Now, Orpah returned to the gods of Moab. And the god of Moab, the prominent one, was Chemosh. And for the appeasing of the god Chemosh, they practiced child sacrifice. They killed their children. We have recorded in the book of 2 Kings chapter 3 this. The king took his oldest son, who was one day going to reign in his place, and he offered him as a burnt offering to Chemosh on the wall. So that's what Orpah went back to. That is the sin that she desired more than the faithfulness of God, through which Ruth was pointing as an example the way to go. Ruth accepted the responsibility for her commitment. Orpah initially said, yeah, I'll go with you. But like my friends at the gym, they only lasted a short period of time. And when I began to realize how much work it is, went the easy way. So happened with Orpah. She realized it was going to be a hard journey back to Israel. And she might not be welcome there. That might be hard. And so she took the easy way out. Ruth took the hard way, and she accepted the responsibility for the commitment that she made. And Ruth said, verse 16, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth counted the cost of her commitment. We see in verses 16 and 17 a famous saying. A lot of songs have been written about it. Some of you may have even used these verses in your marriage vows. Some do. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." And notice the last part of this, "Where you die, I'll die." Ruth made the commitment of faithfulness that was going to last her lifetime and beyond her mother-in-law's lifetime. Now, the devotion that we're talking about here goes beyond the devotion of the daughter-in-law Ruth for her mother-in-law Naomi. It climaxes in the statement, "Your God will be my God." Moab worshipped Chemosh, the false god, but through either Naomi and Elimelech's teaching or through her husband's teaching, the text doesn't tell us, we don't know, somehow she had become a believer in the one and only true God. And Ruth realized once she had met the one and only true God, there could be no turning back from it. There's lots of idols in our world today. We don't just have to deal, like back in the day, with Chemosh, a false god. There's all kinds of idols that we have in our world today. Some would put hunting and fishing above service to God. Others would put their house and their home. Some even put their children and families above the service and love of God. Ruth counted the cost of commitment, and she said, "I'm going to go, and I'm going to follow, even until death." Earlier, we sang the song, "Just to Be With You," and the words of that chorus are so powerful. "All I want, all I need is just to be with you." That's in essence what Ruth was saying. "God, I have met you. I have come to know the covenant promises that you have with your people. And God, all I want is to be with you. I'll go where you go. God, I will go where you call me to go." Ruth's devotion to God reminds me of the story of Isaiah the prophet. You might be familiar with the story in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is permitted, just for a little brief window of time, he's permitted to see into heaven. And there he's permitted to see the angels that are worshiping around the throne. He's permitted to hear the cries of "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah is undone to his core. He realizes that he is a sinful man, and he is in the presence of a holy God. And so God, through an angel, touches the mouth of Isaiah and takes his sin away. And then Isaiah hears this famous saying, "Who will go for me? Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah raised his hand and said, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me." And in the same way Ruth said, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go with my mother-in-law to a people I don't know, to a land that I don't know, because God, that's where your people live. I want to be where your people are." So Ruth counted the cost of commitment, and she carried out that commitment. Verse 18, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. The third lesson, a commitment that Ruth teaches us, is commitment requires determination. Ruth was determined, or the King James Bible says steadfastly minded, to follow after Naomi here. She had indicated a lot about her character here. She set her purpose, her vision, her goal, and she was not going to be dissuaded from it. And Naomi could see it. She could hear it in her voice. She could probably, if we could even have been there that day, you could probably even see the commitment, the resolve in her eyes. Perhaps, most likely, Ruth had been taught the importance within the covenant of the context of the nation of Israel to care for widows. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, there's a commandment from the Lord that says we are to care for our widows. Naomi was a widow, and so Ruth obviously took that commitment very seriously. Yes, it was going to mean following him in hardships. It was going to mean going to a place where she didn't know what was going to happen, and it was going to require perseverance to the commitment, even when one day it might get more difficult. Verse 19, so they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So fourth, Ruth teaches us that commitment requires sacrifice. Ruth sacrificed temporary comfort for eternal blessing. We looked last week at the end of the book of Ruth in chapter 4. Ruth was going to one day become the great-grandmother of David, who would be in the lineage of our Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so Ruth sacrificed temporary comfort in the land of Moab for eternal blessing. I mean, think about this. We're telling Ruth's story 3,500 years later. And people have told that story from her time down to us. And we'll be telling that story into all eternity of Ruth's commitment to God. And she sacrificed the temporary comfort to receive an eternal reward. She sacrificed temporary happiness. Happiness is fleeting and only lasts for a short period of time. Joy is unending and never leaves us. And the result that Ruth enjoys today, the joy in God's eternal kingdom, goes on forever. Ruth will have a permanent smile on her face in heaven because of her commitment. Ruth sacrificed temporary community, the family and friends that she could have gone back to. She now has family and friends and a community bigger than she could have ever imagined in heaven. And she took temporary ease for permanent rest. Ruth is at rest now in her eternal home. She has gone the way of all man. The Bible says in Hebrews, it's appointed man wants to die. We're all going to come to that point where death comes to us. And she looked beyond the temporary comfort to the permanent rest and reward that God had for her. Naomi uses in this verse one of the wonderful names of God. It's called the Almighty. If you're familiar a little bit with Hebrew, in Hebrew it's El Shaddai. It's referring to the God most powerful. And so Naomi had been introduced to the covenant name of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. If you look at that in your Bibles, it's in capital letters because it refers to the covenant name of God for Israel, Yahweh. But here she's using another name for God, the Almighty, indicating that God was most powerful. Ruth knew that Naomi could deliver her from anything that she would encounter. Her commitment was steadfast and sure, knowing that the Almighty, the most powerful, would deliver her from whatever came her way. And so she says, the Almighty is going to be with me. Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Fifth lesson, a commitment that Ruth teaches us is commitment requires follow through. If Ruth and Naomi had stayed in Moab, they'd have missed all that God had for them. Instead, they had to venture out in faith. They had to trust that God was going to provide for their needs. Warren Wiersbe says this, Ruth's conversion is evidence of the sovereign grace of God over her. For the only way that sinners can be saved is through grace. Everything within Ruth, everything within Naomi, presented obstacles to their faith. And yet, they trusted in the God of Israel. Her circumstances were against her. She could have gotten bitter against God. First her father-in-law died, then her husband died, her brother-in-law dies, and she's alone. But Ruth kept her eye on the prize that God had given her. So I want us to think a few moments for ourselves of what Ruth teaches us in biblical commitment to God. And I just put in your notes, they'll scale 1 to 10. How would you rate yourself with your commitment to God? Are you all in? Can you give yourself a 10? I'm like Ruth. God tells me to go, I'm going. God sends me to fill in the blank, wherever it is, I'll go there. God calls me to become bivocational like Brother Jerry. Today's call on his life. Fill in the blank. God, anywhere you go, whatever you call me to do, Lord, I'm all in. I've slid the chips across the table to you, God. There's no one else I'd rather be with. Wherever you go, God, I'll go. Wherever you take me, I'll go. Or maybe you're a zero. Just be honest. Be honest with the only one's going to see this is you and the Lord. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you don't have that level of commitment. You're holding on to your life, and that's okay. But begin to pray as we study Ruth's life. God, can I let go of the things that I hold dear? To my family, to my house, to my job. Can I let go of those things and release them, God, to you? As we study the book of Ruth, we learn over and over again of God's providential, sovereign guidance of this woman. And she stands as a wonderful testament to us that when we do slide all of our chips across the table to him and say, God, I'm all in, I'm totally committed. We see the manifold blessings for her. Not that Ruth instantly had all her problems taken away or solved as we study. We'll know there were some dark times for Ruth along the way. But in the end, we know how God provided for Ruth and he took care of her. And his covenant promise to us is that he will do the same. The God who promised he'll never leave us or forsake us was the same for Ruth and he's the same for us. Secondly, are you following through on commitments that you've made to the Lord? If you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and committed yourself to him, are you persevering in that walk with him every day? Or have you walked away from God in your commitment to him? And today is the day to turn from that, to say, I want to be like Ruth. I want to be as committed to the Lord's leadership and guidance as she was. So take Ruth's example today, and as we enter into a time of prayer in just a few moments, repent and say, God, I have made a commitment to follow you. I've made a commitment to know and love and serve you, but my heart has led me astray. And today, God, I want to come back in line with you. I want to follow after the path where you have me to go. And third, are you willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus Christ? Cost Ruth everything to follow the one true God. Everything. Home, family, friends, familiarity, comfort. There's a great cost to her salvation for Ruth. Great cost. She lost everything. But if we just focus on what Ruth has lost, we too might be tempted not to go all in. Think about what Ruth got in return. She got hope. She got salvation. She got joy. And she got the greatest blessing that any one of us could ever be. And that was to be 100% in the dead center will of God. Ruth was dead center right on the will of God. Because God said, I'm going to bless her one day with a son. And his name will be Obed. And Obed will have a son, and his name will be Jesse. And Jesse's son's name will be David. And not only will he be a great conquering king, he'll be one that goes before to set up the coming of the great Savior. So friends, I urge you today to, yes, count the cost for sure of following Jesus Christ. You've heard the good news of Jesus and who he is and what he's done. commit to him today, to follow after him, and to be as committed to following him as Ruth was. Well, let's pray. God, we thank you for this outstanding example of Ruth. And Lord, I know if she were here today, she would be humbled by the way we lift her up, her testimony. And God, we don't exalt her to put her on a pedestal. We just lift her up as a woman who had a heart and a passion and a devotion for you. And so, Lord, Ruth challenges all of us. Because truth be told, Lord, we've all slinked back from commitments that we've made. None of us have been 100% faithful to our promises to you. And God, we ask for forgiveness for that. And Lord, I ask for a renewed level of commitment from all of us today. It's so easy, God, to turn away from you. The temptations and the lure of the world, the press of the work and the responsibilities at home and taking care of house and yard and farm and gardens and hobbies, all those things would take us away from keeping consistent in our commitment with you. And so God, today help us to redouble our efforts back to following after our Lord Jesus, to living out a life of grace and a life of blessing to others around us. God, forgive us for those times when we have failed you. Strengthen our resolve, God, and help the Holy Spirit as he moves within us to feel that stirring, that we respond to his gentle promptings every day as you lead us. And now, God, hear our prayers as Brother Jerry comes to lift up our times of intercession.
Father, our God,